Good to see those out this morning. I'd like for us to think about, and probably you've been driving maybe in behind a truck, and you see a sign on that truck. It says, how's my driving? And of course, you know, they're, if you're driving bad, probably they want you to call in on them, or would they? Probably they wouldn't want you to call in on if you were driving badly, but if you were driving, you know, the way that you should, then they probably wouldn't mind you calling in and say, you know, this truck that's driving this sort of number, you know, I saw him driving today and they were driving great. But as we think about that and realize, what if we had a sign on our back that said, how am I walking? Now, when we think about it, that in the spiritual sense, you remember last week that John had brought a lesson and he mentioned a passage that's found from Ephesians chapter 5, see that you walk circumspectly. So I would like to think about today and thinking about some thoughts that's found and just about all the writers of the New Testament. You will run across the word walk sometime in some way. John uses it quite often in the way in which that we are to live. Paul uses it the same way, how that we are to live. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, therefore, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So how am I walking? But we do find also that in some areas of life that there are some difficulties for us maybe to go from one place to another. What I'm talking about now, not from maybe Zanesville to Newark, but I'm talking about in our status of life, in the way in which that we are living, maybe in maturity or growing as we should, as 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't want to walk very fast. We sometimes maybe want to get to the area where that we want to sit down or that we want to maybe just crawl just a little bit. But I'm thinking about some of those in which that we look at. And remember, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, when Paul was writing to those at Ephesus, and he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, God has got a place in which that he wants to bless each and every one of us. And he says that heavenly place which is in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it is that we may not be the kind of people in which that have those blessings. Now remember, he said, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There's a difference between temporal blessings and spiritual blessings. The atheist receives temporal blessings from God. If he didn't, he'd be dead. You see, God gives us our life. He gives us our breath that we breathe. And sometimes we don't appreciate that because some people it is that you hear them bring out God's name about every breath that they draw. Take God's name in vain. You think those kind of people are really thankful of God? If so, then why do they curse him? God didn't do anything to that particular person or thing in which that they are talking about. But if we want to be blessed, if we want to have those spiritual blessings, we have to get where it is. Just the same way out there, if you're walking up and maybe down the highway and temperature below 40 degree weather in the minuses, you can walk, you can pace. But if you find a hurry, a word, a house that's got plenty of heat, and go into that house, you can get some benefits from it. So you see, our spiritual blessings is in Christ Jesus. And we don't get those spiritual blessings outside of Christ. Temporal blessings come to all mankind, the good and the bad. But we find that Paul, in his writing to those at Ephesus, he talked about in a situation, and you go to chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "You hath he quickened," or "You hath he made alive." Now, what was wrong with those people? You see, a person that's living doesn't need to be made alive, because they're not dead. It's people that are dead that needs to be revived or made alive. And so he said, "You hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, these people he's talking about were dead in trespasses and sins. They were violators of God. They were violators of his word. And so you, he says, he's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Were any time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the course of this world. In other words, your life, your way of living, was the way that the world was. Way that the world is. According to the principality of the air, the spirit that works now in the children of disobedience. In other words, Paul is saying you've got the same spirit, or you had the same spirit as those people that are of the world. But now you have been quickened, you have been made alive, and this come about through those spiritual blessings that they received when they got into Christ Jesus. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the principalities of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in time past. Your conversation, your way of living in time past. You see, this shows us that when we become Christians, that we no longer live as the way that the world lives. There's a change. We live differently. And he goes forward to say that in this conversation time past, in the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see, when we are not Christian, when we are living in the world, our desires are different than when we do become Christians. When we're living the way that God wants us to live, our desires change. Desires of the flesh and mind. But sometimes it is that in this change, it's not completely changed. Have you ever seen, looked at an egg in a nest? You know, the hen, she sets on the egg, and you look at that egg, and it looks like egg you break when you eat, right? From the outside. But maybe you go several weeks later, And that old hen's done her job. She's set on those eggs. And then you see those eggs have been pulled apart. And you say sometime that little baby chick with some of the egg left to it. That is the egg hulls. Sticking to it. What happened? See, there was not that complete change. There was a change, but it was not completed. Left some attachments, and sometimes it is that when we become Christians, we leave some of those old detachments, those old desires in which that we want to do, and we want to fill our lives with those things. He says, desires of the flesh and mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's just natural for a person to grow into the responsibility of knowing right and wrong, become sinful. That's the way it happens. So we learn then that Paul says, some of you were like that. But you've been quickened. You've been made alive. You've been brought out of that world of darkness. And you've been brought into where the spiritual blessings is in Christ. He further warned them, and he talked in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And notice, if you notice in verse 1, he said he was a prisoner of the Lord. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Everyone that has ever become a Christian has been called by God through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by the gospel. And so it's the gospel in which that we have been called by, and we have been called into this location or into this work. Sometimes you hear people, you know, they get ideas and things, and they get a particular job, and they say, well, you know, I think I was called to do that. That may be your profession, that may be your work line, that may be what you're good at. And there's nothing wrong with being good at any job that's honest and decent in the eyes of God, to do it and do it good. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of biblical fact, we're supposed to. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In other words, put an effort into it, because if we as Christians don't put an effort into this vocation, into this way of life, into this work, then we're not going to make it to heaven. You see, Luke 13, you look about verse 22, 23, you'll find that they were saying, it's hard. Are there going to be anyone saved? And Jesus said, you strive to enter in at the straight gate. You strive. You see, heaven is not going to be given to people that likes to walk down the easy street. We're going to receive it as a gift, but God's gift is not going to be given to everyone. It's those who strive to enter in. Because Jesus said, some, they'll make the effort, but they won't make it. And then, when that time comes and the door is going to be shut, they're going to want in. And he will say, I don't know you. You see, the Lord can know us now, but not know us then. Because in the meantime, something has come between the knowing. And we've not done what God requires of us to to do. But he said he was a prisoner of the Lord, and he wanted them, he's begging them, he's pleading with them to walk in this location. And he continued to tell us in that same area, he says that you walk worthy of the location wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep it. Does that seem like, well, I don't have to worry about anything? No. He says you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And when you're talking about the unity of the Spirit, you're talking about, in a sense, what the Spirit's message is. And when we listen today, you turn on radio, you turn on TV, you read maybe even in the obituary columns, or maybe you read in some magazines, and it is nowhere close to being in unity with the Spirit. Because God's message doesn't change overnight. And what God said 1900 years ago, he still says the same thing today. Time doesn't change God's word. Doesn't change. Now, people may change, and messages may change, but God's word doesn't change. He says, you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why should we do that, Paul? He goes on to say, there is one body. Think about that. He says that there is one body. And he described what that body was in chapter 1. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Now Paul could have wrote just as simply, if the Spirit would have given him that direction, to say there is one church. He could have said that just as easy. But he used the body, and God did that for a purpose. Because body describes functions. Whereas the church is just simply the called out ecclesia. But when you're talking about a body, you're talking about function, the works, the things that are involved within that body. And Christ is the head over that body. And ain't it sad today when you talk about, and you know, there's one particular religious group. And, you know, years ago, they thought, well, it doesn't make any difference how many wives you got. You can have just as many as you can support. Some of those had come on, and they had, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14, 20. But, you know, about every religious group out there will fight against this particular denomination because of polygamy that they stand for. Some of them. Some of them have maybe broke loose from it somewhat. Having a plurality of wives. But most denominational bodies fight against that, do they not? Sure they do. They fight against that. And they fight against that particular group. There's a couple of groups in which that they usually fight against. One is, you know, the Jehovah's Witness. You can't blame them for fighting against it, because we are to uphold the truth. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormonism. And there's a few others, but see, they help to the idea you could have a plurality of wives. But ain't it strange that these denominational bodies will fight against polygamy when it comes to in the physical realm, but they won't fight against it when it comes to the spiritual realm. Oh, Christ, he married all kinds of churches. Not true. Christ had one wife. Christ has one body. Christ didn't, when he walked here on earth, he didn't walk around with one head and 1,000 bodies or more than that. He didn't do that. That wouldn't be human at all, would it? No. He had one body. How many bodies do you have? The sheath, the head's connected to the body. He said there is one body. But we have different ideas, you see, and we're not making an effort to keep the unity, the oneness of the Spirit. The Spirit gave us one message from God, and we are taught, we are commanded not to tamper with it, but accept it the way it is. In that same chapter, we find him going down into verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk." What, Paul? "That you walk not as other Gentiles walk." You see, these were Gentiles who were saved by God's grace. He says that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. How are they walking, Paul? In the vanities of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why, Paul? Because of the blindness of their hearts. You see, you could take your child and you could send it to school until it got old and gray. You could go every day. But if it didn't want to listen, didn't want to learn, it'd come out just the same way it was when you sent them in there. If they didn't want to learn. Hosea 4 and verse 6 said, "My people is destroyed." Why? For the lack of knowledge. You mean they didn't have no way of knowing what God wanted them to do? That wasn't a problem, was it? He said, "But because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject them, that they shall be no priests unto me." Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path." Sometimes you talk with people on different subjects, different things. And you know, they'll tell you what they feel and how they feel about it. And you probably hear this expression quite a bit. He said, "I just tell it like it is because I'm from the old school." Hear people make that statement? In other words, what they're meaning is that the old way, the old-fashioned way, the right way. Didn't compromise. He said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and when you find it, walk therein." But you know what they said? Just like a lot of people we talk to today, "We will not walk. We won't do it." And I've had people to tell me, "If that's what it takes for me to go to heaven, I don't guess I'll ever go there." How sad. How sad it is that we do not want to give up our desires, our ideals, our ignorance, because we want to hold on to it in order to go to heaven. He says that, "Who being past feelings, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, with greediness. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. You see, lust has a way of pulling us from God. It has a way of pulling us from what God wants us to be. Because sometimes even within our own minds, have you ever heard people make a statement to you, I don't need God? Ideas like that, and through their minds are thinking, well, I can do everything in this life by myself. I don't need no help. Isaiah chapter 55 and 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, to our God. And he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, our way is not the right way. Our way is the wrong way. Makes no difference how good we may think it to be. Our way is not the right way. It has to be God's way. Remember, account given in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, particularly when Luke records the words of Jesus, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And you notice what Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? In other words, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't follow what I've got wrote down? But you know, most of the complications in people's lives, it's not over what the Bible says. It's not what we read. That's not the complications. We can agree upon what's said. It says it. Yeah, that's what it said. But, okay, when you start butting in on what God says, you're going to get in trouble. Because that's when we want to put our ideals into it. Not too hard to understand it if you take it for what it says, but when you start butting in, conversation of God and his apostle or whoever who wrote that particular book, that's when you get in problems. It's over what the Bible doesn't say. That's where problems comes in. Most of the disagreements is over what the Bible doesn't say. You go to a school and the teacher has taught you 2 and 2 are 4. Sometimes you don't have no disagreements over that, but you try to argue 2 and 2. It's 5, 6, or 7. You have a problem with that. Because the standard doesn't say 2 and 2 are 6. The standard says 2 and 2 are 4. And he says that you've not so learned Christ, but if you be that you have learned him, have been taught him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the form of conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Desires can hinder. Why don't we do as he says in verse 2 of chapter 5, walk in love. Walk in love. I looked at that clock and didn't know it got that far away, but we are to walk in love. And when we're walking in love, we'll do what God wants us to do. We'll follow his word. We'll humble ourselves to word and we'll submit to whatever he says for us to do, because after all, he is to be our ruler. He is to be our king. He is to be our Lord. So Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not the things I say. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the Lord. You need to put your faith in him, trust him. Be willing to submit to him, to his will. Lord, what will you have me to do? Put your faith in me. Trust me. Turn from sin. Repent. If you don't, you're going to burn. Be baptized for the remission of sins. If you've fallen by the wayside, maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord while together we stand. Because God has given us that command as well. Repent and pray God while together.